Please silence all electronic devices.
Representatives Brawley, Sane, Hastings, Martin, Setzer, and Soka are recognized.
So the bottom line is, folks, there are a lot of bad people out there.
I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this message.
You're fired!
You know, the guy that used to sit in this chair had a saying, if you think everybody's good, you ain't met everybody.
Any further discussion or debate?
This is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Dave DeWitt, Managing Editor for News here at WUNC. We're turning today's podcast over to the able hands of Frank Stacio, host of The State of Things. He spoke on Friday with Jeff Tiberi, Capitol Bureau Chief, about the 12-hour meeting held by the State Board of Elections on Thursday. It was a remarkable meeting that considered and frequently altered the county-level early voting plans that were in dispute. They were decisions that will play a direct role in how the races for president, governor, Senate, anyone on the ballot plays out this fall. Before we hand it over to Frank and Jeff, please take the opportunity after the podcast to rate or review us on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you downloaded us from. And now, Frank Stacio.
The State Board of Elections met yesterday to determine early voting regulations for 33 counties whose local boards could not agree. The decisions were made with acute awareness of the Fourth Circuit decision last month that threw out the voter ID law in North Carolina as racially discriminatory. Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi was at the state board meeting yesterday and joins us now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
All right, so we've got 33 cases in which there was not agreement. What does that mean to not be in agreement about these plans?
When the Fourth Circuit killed the voting law from the state Republicans, the early voting plans had to expand from 10 to a 17-day window. It went down to the local boards, and all these local boards are made up of three people, two of whom are Republicans in each county. If there's unanimous agreement on how to implement an early voting plan, thumbs up goes forward. If it's a 2-1 split, or I mean just a split if it's not unanimous, then the plan or the proposed plans have to go before the State Board of Elections, and that 5-member board, also Republican majority, can go with a majority plan, a minority plan, or some kind of deviation between them.
All right, that happened in 33 cases. Give us a rough overview of what happened.
So a lot of what happened yesterday was talking about total hours of early voting, how that compares to 2012, the number of sites. Sunday voting was a key sticking point. We heard a lot of discrepancies over Sunday voting. And what this boils down to is that for a lot of these counties, the 5-member state board did go with the majority plan. There were other instances where they just couldn't go with the plan that had been put forth because there's some concern that it is illegal and that it doesn't really jive with the injunction that was handed down by the Fourth Circuit at the end of July.
All right, so tell us about those, the ones they rejected.
The two most noteworthy are Mecklenburg County and Wake County. So we went from 10 to 17 days of early voting, and what the local Wake County Board of Elections proposed was that for those additional 7 days, having just one polling location open for early voting in downtown Raleigh. Now, the argument against this is that Wake is a huge county, and what voting access proponents were saying is that this is, it just doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to reduce what you had in place 4 years ago, other than for partisan reasons, other than to limit the people who can get to the polls. And what the data shows from 2012 and also from 2008 is that early voting is used predominantly by African Americans. 70% of all African Americans voted early in Wake County, well, much higher level than white voters, and many of those voters came in the first week. So essentially, what had been proposed was limiting the hours in that first week. In Mecklenburg County, the proposal for the first week of early voting included just 6 sites, whereas 4 years ago there were, I believe, if I'm remembering my notes correctly, 22 early voting sites throughout the whole 17-day period. So we're talking about a reduction of location and hours for the first part of early voting for 2 counties, Mecklenburg and Wake, that are the first and second biggest in the state, and that ultimately could decide the presidential, U.S. Senate, gubernatorial race, and some other important races on the ballot this November.
This is an effort, again, to repress the vote, even after the Fourth Circuit found that the Republicans had targeted African-American the African-American population with surgical precision to repress that vote. So expand it. And then we saw memos both from the chair of the party and also from the first congressional district, that party chairman, Gary Terry, both sending memos to Board of Elections at the local level saying, follow the party line. We have to do this because in both cases, if you don't, more Democrats will vote, and we have to follow the party line to protect Republicans in office.
Right. So to some extent, this is politics. This is partisan. I chatted with Dallas Woodhouse, who's the executive director of the state Republican Party this week, and he said, listen, there are thousands and thousands of hours for Republicans and Democrats, for anybody to get to the polls. North Carolina has a lot of voting options. And he is right. However, what the court ruled was, you know, based on 2012 and based on the access that had been granted and, you know, expanded and built over the years. One thing I guess that is worth noting is Josh Lawson, who's the general counsel for the State Board of Elections, was asked as the State Board was considering the plan for Mecklenburg County. And what he said, this would be a risky move to adopt full force, basically because it didn't, you know, coincide with the spirit of the Fourth Circuit ruling. So there is some concern here from the State Board of Elections. There was some concern yesterday about what they approved and whether or not that could be challenged moving forward.
Well, Dallas Woodhouse told you that there's plenty of hours in the day and plenty of hours between now and November 8th, so we don't need more. But what he told Republicans and what Gary Terry told them is this helps Democrats and we can't do it. Gary Terry's memo, I think, said specifically, left unchecked, they would have early voting sites at every large gathering place for Democrats. So they weren't saying enough. It said we have to stop Democrats, and African-American voters have traditionally and historically voted Democratic.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you more about this, because these were hearings of some sort, and I wonder what the rationale was as they had to account for their decisions. Give us a sense of what Republicans were saying about why they're repressing the vote, restricting Democratic access to the polls. What were they saying was the reason for this?
The question of why came up at least 15 times yesterday. In many instances, many counties, the Republicans who put forth these local proposals didn't show up to defend their plans. They don't have to. They're not obligated by law to do so, but they didn't show up. But the question of why was a repetitive one yesterday. We heard about the need to give poll workers a break. You can't have Sunday voting because you would then have early voting for 13 or 14 consecutive days, and poll workers need a break. That was one argument. Another argument that we heard from Republicans had to do with cost. That one didn't come up as much, but we heard about cost. One other point from Republicans had to do with the quality of elections and arguing, contending that early voting can hurt, you know, the sanctity of elections.
Let's listen to Liz McDowell.
Without judges at early voting, those who make sure the law is followed, meaning numerous voters have been victimized by all too enthusiastic campaign and party officials. Examples that I will give you are some from reported in the 2012 election dealing with illegal assistance. We had observers who reported individuals would reproach voters in the parking lot, latch onto them, follow them into the site, and without solicitation, assist them in voting. In other instances, healthcare providers would provide patients from nursing home and, again, without solicitation from the voter, accompany the voter to assist in voting.
That's Liz McDowell, a Republican on the Mecklenburg County Board of Elections at that meeting. She was quickly...
That's a new one, right? That's a new one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's heard that in the debate of for voter ID.
Absolutely not.
And the unsolicited part, of course, you don't know whether they solicited the health care provider before they got to the polls.
No, so. And of course, my question, one of my questions as an impartial observer would be, if that was the case, if this is a problem, why have we not heard about it until September 8th of 2016? If this is something that is compromising the integrity of an election, we certainly should have heard about it 4 years ago or this past spring during the primary. A member of the state board, a Democrat, responded to that with, "Are you serious?" To which she said she was. But that's a new one.
Well, that was Liz McDowell, of course, as we said, from the Mecklenburg County Board of Elections. The sole Democrat on that board also spoke. This is Mark Sigmund.
I agree that I was surprised today by the board's lack of deference and respect and fear for the Fourth Circuit's decision. I think that it's somewhat likely that there's going to be further legal action about that. I think that the Mecklenburg board's attempt was that kind of surgical precision that the Fourth Circuit talked about. I think that the state board here at least recognized that might be a problem, and it tried to mitigate that by reaching this quote-unquote compromise solution. But I still think it's bad. I mean, when you target the form of voting used by African Americans and you target when they use it, in the light of this Fourth Circuit decision, I think it's very problematic.
That's Mark Sigmund, who's an attorney for Carol Williams, who's the actual board member at Mecklenburg, the Democratic board member.
Correct. We should note that at the end of the Mecklenburg County portion of the meeting yesterday, they did compromise on 10 early voting sites for the first week of early voting in Mecklenburg County, which is an increase over what Republicans had proposed, but a decrease over what was in place 4 years ago, again, for that first 7 days of early voting. Sigmund and several others are not happy with that. They say that it is an effort to limit the number of hours early on when African Americans have used the polls.
How much did that compromise constrict voting in Mecklenburg County? It was originally, I think the Republicans wanted, what, six?
They wanted six, and this is an expansion of, I believe, sites and hours during the first 5 days.
And again, what happened with Wake County? Because that was the other one in contention, so how was that resolved?
Correct. Wake County, in the end, Judge James Baker on the state board, we should note, he is a Republican. He was appointed by Governor McCrory to this board, but you know, he said he just had an issue and he didn't see how the proposal from Wake County would serve the needs of the voters. He's a Republican, but he said at the end of the day, that's what this is about. This is about, you know, serving the needs of the voters. He sided with a minority proposal, and Wake County will have 9 early voting locations throughout the county, essentially downtown and a ring around Raleigh. Think of like 440 or 540 for folks to get to the polls during the first portion of early voting.
And is that it now? These are the rules that are in place, or is there another step?
It is possible that the NAACP, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, and plaintiffs who brought the suit over the state law could seek further assistance from the Fourth Circuit if they feel like Mecklenburg, Wake, or other counties do not go far enough or fly in the face of the Fourth Circuit ruling. It's possible, but timing here is obviously pretty limited.
That's Frank Stacio and Jeff Tiberi, and that's the WUNC Politics Podcast for today. Next week, we'll have a special guest on the podcast and more in-depth analysis of the races and issues that are defining this campaign season. Remember again to rate or review us or go back and subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. See you next week.